Welcome to the Warriors of Grace podcast, hosted by Dave Jenkins. Warriors of Grace is about helping men from generation to generation become gospel men in private, in the home, in the church, and in public through the Word of God. Now for today's episode, let's join our host, Dave Jenkins.
All right, guys, welcome back to the Warriors of Grace podcast. My name is Dave, and I'm the host for this show. And today we're continuing our series, Prayer and the Sufficiency of Christ series. This is episode 7 in this series, and the title is Continuing Steadfast in Prayer with Thanksgiving. And today we're going to look at Colossians 4:2, which says, Continuing steadfast in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. We've been talking about the prayer and the sufficiency of Christ because, you know what, our prayers as men need to be grounded in the Word of God. And this kind of prayer, it helps us. It helps us to know not only how we're to pray, but what we're to pray about. And so as we continue on in this series, we're going to look at a variety of scriptures to help us, not just to express our petitions and our cares and our wants, but also as our text here today says that we're to continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. See, God-honoring prayer includes not only adoration, it includes not only confession, but it expresses gratitude to the Lord for the good gifts that He gives us. Scripture frequently exhorts us to include thanksgiving in our prayers, and Colossians 4:2 is but one example of this. And the reason that this is so important, Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5 that it is the will of God for us in Christ Jesus to give thanks. That's a command. He's giving a list like a drill sergeant in that section of 1 Thessalonians 5. He's giving one command after another, and after another. And these commands are made possible because Paul says they are God's will for us in Christ Jesus. That's an imperative. It's a command. But the only reason that we can obey the command is because it is God's will for us in Christ Jesus. The reason that we can give thanks, as our text says, is because of Christ Jesus, because of what He has done in His death, burial, and resurrection. And so now, having said that, in Colossians 4:2, we can discern at least two reasons why thanksgiving is a key element of prayer that honors our Creator. First, thanksgiving stands in opposition to one of our most fundamental sins. In Romans 1:18-32, Paul looks at the fallen humanity and describes the many sins into which people have fallen. And that text shows us that all of our transgressions are really the fruit of two primordial sins. The two key wicked acts and the dispositions that give birth to all others, idolatry and ingratitude. See, apart from the grace of God, we are guilty before God because although we know about God from the created order, we worship idols instead of the one true and living God, and we are not thankful to Him. We instead presume on the Lord's kindness, on His goodness. Idolatry and ingratitude form the core of our fallenness, and although we are decisively changed in our regeneration and conversion, the tendency towards idolatry and ingratitude remains. The only way to fight ingratitude is to cultivate a thankful disposition, which we do by thanking God for the good gifts that He gives us when we pray. And a second reason for including thanksgiving in our prayers has to do with our forgetfulness. We forget the goodness of God. In Luke 17:11-19, we read of an occasion when Jesus healed 10 lepers while He was traveling between Samaria and Galilee. And the striking thing is that only one of the 10 came back to thank Him. And now typically we think of the other 9 lepers and we're not grateful for their healing, but that is not the real problem. No one could have been more thankful to be healed than those lepers, even those who did not verbalize their thanks, but were surely thankful to be restored to health. But the nine lepers never expressed their gratitude and why. And a likely explanation is that they, like the rest of us, took God's blessing for granted. They presumed on the goodness of God. How easy it is for us to ask the Lord for 10 things in prayer, receive 9 of them, and then dwell on the thing that he said no to. We do not remember the myriad of ways in which God has blessed us and helped us, and instead we focus on what we have not received and we're not thankful. And this is why not presuming on the goodness of God and being thankful to God is so important, and why Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5 that it is a command. It is God's will in Christ Jesus for you to be thankful. And so thanking God for his specific blessing, it assists us in remembering the goodness of God and his mercy, helping us not to take those things for granted. As fallen creatures, we are inclined to take the Lord and his gifts for granted, and we frequently forget all that he has done for us. And when we make it a practice to remember what the Lord has done for us and to thank him, we help keep the sin of gratitude at bay. In fact, we need to ask the question, what can you thank for the Lord for today? And also this, that gratitude is really helpful. It helps us to be grateful for who Christ is and what he has done for us. In fact, the more that you think about that, you think about the ways in which God is good to you, you're going to have 1,000 different reasons. You can thank the Lord for helping you as you drive. You should thank the Lord before you even get in the car and ask the Lord to help you to arrive safely at your destination. And when you get to your destination, give thanks to the Lord. When you go pick up food, give thanks to the Lord for the provision that of you being able to get the food that you have. And when you get home and you put away the food, give thanks to the Lord for the food that he gave you. Give thanks to the Lord for the job that he gave you and for the ability to work and to work hard, all for his glory. And on and on and on. Those are just some ideas. Now rescued from the inhuman condition into which we were born, children of Adam cut off from fellowship with God, the Lord calls those of us who are his children in Christ to put on a new humanity that is found only in his Son. In Colossians 3, 18 through 4, 1, Paul highlights what humanity as God designed it to be looks like in the family and the covenant community. And so in Colossians 4, 2, the Apostle Paul highlights what it looks like in relation to the hostile outside world. Now, Colossians 4, 2, it contains an encouragement to diligent, to thankful prayer, which at first seems to be an instruction on how we're to be as Christians in relation to God. Indeed, it is true that one of the marks of the believer is to resolve to pray at all times, as we considered recently from Ephesians 6, 18, that is, in all circumstances. And yet, John Chrysostom notes how even the call to pray operates in relation to those who are not part of the Lord's prayer, when he says the devil knows, and yes, he knows, how great a good prayer is. We must be diligent in prayer because it is one of the most powerful weapons we have for tearing down the enemy's strongholds. How much stronger would the church be when facing its adversaries if it prayed according to the will of God, according to the word of God, asking the Lord to show forth his power and grace on behalf of his people? Related to the importance of prayer and the church's task is to break through the gates of hell, as the apostles request in Colossians 4, 3 through 4, for prayer that God may open us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ. And now notice that Paul does not ask for the church in Colossae to ask for his release from Roman imprisonment, which he certainly could have done. No, realizing that there can just be as many opportunities for the advance of the gospel, even though he's in chains, the apostle prays that the gospel, the mystery of Christ, would travel freely. If the Lord were to unleash his chains, that'd be great, for he could do another missionary journey. If not, and he has to stay in jail, that will be okay as well, not least if God makes the hearts and the minds of his captors open to the message of salvation. Perhaps we should follow his example today, praying not so much for the alleviation of our own suffering or the suffering of the persecuted church around the world, but that the gospel would go forth freely and in power, even in the midst of trouble, even in the midst of persecution. In fact, praying for other Christians is one way that we express our love and our care for them. a true love for Paul would motivate the Colossians to intercede for the apostle. John Calvin says, "It is not in vain that the Lord has appointed this exercise of love between us, that we pray for one another. Do we take the privilege of prayer seriously, or do we simply tell people that we're praying for them and then forget all about it? When somebody shares a prayer request with you, do you write it down? Do you have a place where you can go back? And very few of us are savants that we have great memory recall. I have a good memory, but I don't remember everything. And so especially with prayer requests, I write them down. I keep them in a file. For our small group, I write them down in a journal that I keep in my office, that I bring into my office, and I pray for them. And then I put it back out in the car when, we're headed to small group. I have a file on my laptop of people that I'm praying for actively. And this way, I'm showing that I care for them. There's other people that come to mind. I pray for them. My wife and I pray personally for our family. We pray for our church. We pray for the church. We pray for pastors. We pray for our local officials, our city council. We pray for our governor. We pray for our president. We pray for the Senate. We pray for the House of Representatives. We pray for our unsaved family and friends. How are you doing in your prayer life? How are you doing it praying for those that you love and you care for? Do you pray for the ministry of your church? Do you pray for your pastor as he's preparing to preach the word? Do you pray as he is, as your pastor or pastors are caring for the flock? One of the things that stands out here, I remember now, in just this moment, is Spurgeon's church. When Spurgeon was alive and Spurgeon was preaching, he said that the heart of the church was the prayer ministry. Because as he would preach, he had people praying in a room. And they were praying for the sermon. They were praying for the lost. They were praying for the people who were at the service. Because this is one of the ways in which we can love people. We can care for them. It's to take them again and again and again before the Lord. And this is why Paul is saying here in this text to continue steadfastly in prayer. We're to continue in it. We're not to stop from it. In fact, that's why Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5, we're to pray at all times. He's saying the same thing. Continue in it. Don't stop. Continue on. Continue. Being watchful. And be thankful. As Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5, thankfulness is God's will for us in Christ. Because we have received this gift of pardon that we don't deserve because of what Christ has done, we above all people should be thankful. We should be watchful. We should be prayerful. Praying for the lost, praying for fellow church members, praying for our neighbors, for our friends to know Christ, praying for the ministry of our local church, praying for the churches in our area, that if they don't stand fast on the gospel, praying that God would bring new leadership, praying for our government officials. That's a command, by the way, Paul says in 1 Timothy 2. We're going to talk about that in this series. But being very practical, write down the prayer requests that others share with you and tell them, thank you so much for sharing your prayer requests from me. I want you to know that I have it written down and that you're going to be prayed for. Please keep me up to date. And even follow up and ask, how can I continue to be praying for you? This shows care. This shows that we love one another. And this is where our theology isn't just theoretical, where we know the doctrine, we know the meaning of it, but we put feet to it. It's where sound doctrine leads to sound living, where we actually put into practice As James 1:22 says, for us not to be hearers only, but doers of the word. One of the best ways that you can love and care for other people isn't only by telling them the truth in love. It's also by praying for them that they would know the truth and that it would become precious to them. That they would know, that they would taste, that they would see if the Lord is truly good in and of himself and that he truly is sufficient. Too many of us quit praying. We kept praying for the lost. We kept praying for the hurting. We kept praying for the grieving and the struggling. We never follow up. We never express thankfulness. Continue praying. Continue trusting God. Continue to believe his word. He alone is enough. And this is at the heart of this series, by the way. We have a sufficient Christ to meet all of our need because we have a sufficient word in the Bible. So our prayer life is a reflection of what we say we believe. And that should be convicting for all of us. Because we can all grow and we all have room to grow. And I don't care how long you've been a Christian, man. We all have room to grow. And we all have room, that means, to repent and to confess our neediness. And in fact, the more that you mature in Christ, the more you will express your neediness of Christ. As Luther said, we are beggars seeking after bread. What we need is the bread of life. And he has come and he has bled in our place and for our sin and rose from the dead. And we have him. He is enough. And he always will be for us. And so our hearts should be full of gratitude and thankfulness and continuing on in prayer for the lost and for the broken, for the hurting, for the grieving, for our pastors, for our church, for our elders, for our fellow church members and our state officials, our local officials, our federal officials, all for God's glory. Well, I want to thank you for listening or watching this episode, man, of the Warriors of Grace podcast. Until next week, may God bless you and keep you.
Thank you for listening to the Warriors of Grace podcast. If you enjoyed the show today, please subscribe, leave a rating on the app, and share our episode with your friends and family. If you want to, you can follow us on Instagram at Servants of Grace, on Twitter at Servants of Grace, or search Servants of Grace on Facebook. You can also find our show on the front page of the website servantsofgrace.org.